Good morning, everyone. This is a presentation of the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled Technology User Group. For more information about the Technology User Group or the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, visit our website at lbph.maryland.gov. That's L, B as in boy, P as in Paul, H.maryland.gov. And today we are going to be talking about many different things, including iOS 17 and Apple this and all that kind of stuff. And there's going to be parts of it that you may want to listen to later. There's going to be a situation where you may want to listen to the entire podcast. And you're like, well, where can I find the podcast? Well, you can play the podcast on any smart device by asking it to play the Maryland State Library Agency podcast, and it's going to play the most recent one, which is usually a technology user group, but it may not be. You could always ask your smart device to play the previous podcast, and it will certainly do that. You can also look for Maryland State Library Agency on your Victor Reader stream and subscribe to it. You can also do that with any podcatcher. So again, feel free to look for the Maryland State Library Agency and you will find the podcast. Also want to thank Tiffany for her hosting the meeting last month while I was on the shore. Much appreciated. She did such a fine job. Again, if you want to hear the outstanding work that she did, you can definitely look for one of those previous podcasts of the Technology User Group. Speaking of the Technology User Group, let me just update you on what's coming up in the next couple of months, because in November we start a week early because of Veterans Day weekend. So instead of being on the second Saturday in November, we're going to be on the first Saturday in November. So November 4th, we will be doing our annual assistive technology gifts for the holidays. There are several vendors from around the country that have submitted their thoughts about what you should buy. Of course, I'll be looking for some unique items out there for everyone to take a look at. And on Saturday, December the 9th, ITG, which is a subsidiary of HumanWare out of Virginia, they will be coming and talking to us about some of the offerings that HumanWare has to offer. And I think I told them especially to concentrate a little bit on the Victor Reader Stream 3. And I think there's still a lot of interest. I know a lot of people are going out and buying them, but I'm sure there's still a lot of interest for those people who want to kind of know the difference between the models and that kind of thing. If you're going to be in the Baltimore area, we're very fortunate to have a representative from Dot Incorporation in town until the 15th, and she will be stopping by the library on Friday, November the 3rd at 12:30 p.m. She has with her the Dot Pad, which is a great device if you have not seen one. It is basically a 300-cell refreshable Braille cell tablet that does both text and graphics. And again, if you have the time or inclination and you'd like to see this amazing device and learn all about what it can and cannot do, it's Friday, November 3rd at 12:30 at the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, which is located at 415 Park Avenue in Baltimore. So I hope that you'll come out and take a look at it. And for those of you who are joining today's presentation or listening to today's presentation on podcast, it's never too late to become a member of NLS and join your regional library anywhere in the country. But if you're not sure what that library is or the process or any of that kind of stuff, you can call 888-NLS-READ, That's 888-657-7323. So hope you'll take advantage of that. And one last announcement is that the technology user group is moving to the Zoom platform in January, not November, not December, but in January. So be expecting that. It's probably going to be some growing pains as we get used to the new system, although many groups have been doing Zoom for the past 3 years, so I figured most people's probably about ready for it, can handle it, and will do a good job. And so let's get into today's presentation. Many of you, I know, have come across Thomas Domville in his many presentations as he does for AppleVis. He has another podcast that I've noticed out there. If he wants to talk about that, he can. But he is an innovator. He is a valuable resource to the blind community. AppleVis, I don't know what we'd do without it. But without further delay, let's hear from Thomas. Good morning, Thomas.
Well, good morning, Jake. Thank you so much. This is a privilege and honor to be here. I'm so excited to represent for the state of Maryland. So good morning, everybody. I am coming to you from the state of Missouri, as we say in Missouri, Missouri. So welcome to the state of Missouri. I totally agree with you, Jerry. You must be an NLS member. I am in the state of Missouri. I highly recommend it. And it's a great resource, and not only that, but you get access to things like BART, for example, which is very big in my life. Lots of books here. So my name is Thomas Domville. Some of you may know me as Not a Mouse. I know that's a funny name. It's a little story behind that, and that all began with AppleVis. So for those that have Apple products, a lot of people have the iPhone. Some people might have some Apple Watch or the AirPods or Mac. So AppleVis is, excuse me, guys, designed for those with low vision and blind that can come and talk about their Apple products with the community. So it's based on a community, so everybody is a part of AppleVis, and that's what makes the site so beautiful, is that we are able to talk about questions that you might have, or maybe you want to do some resources and finding out if a particular issue has been seen, is other people have the same problem, or you just got a simple questions. And it's a great resource to find apps. You know, there's a lot of apps out there I'm sure we could always love to try out and play with, see if it's something that we can use. You can find out if it's accessible, what's wrong with it, things like that. Various guides, blogs, and, of course, podcasts. That's where my specialty is, and that's where I pretty much live at most of the time. I put out a lot of kind of a how-to tips, and then I do reviews of apps. And then once a month, we have a monthly show called AppleVis Unleashed, in which we discuss about Apple news, rumors, and things too that might be upcoming, or we might discuss about current things about Apple and the works. There's all sorts of things for you to find at AppleVis. So when I first joined AppleVis, oh my goodness, folks, I'm trying to think, has it been that long? I want to say it's been about 12 years since I've been on AppleVis. And when I first joined, they asked for a username. I was like, well, do I really want to use my real name or not? And so I was, I've always been a nerd and been in the computer field all my life as a programmer, computer network administration and things like that. And then I just kind of bowed out. So I decided I'm a huge Mickey Mouse fan, so I love Disney. So I decided to come with Anonymous. So Anonymous, including the letter E, so Anonymous. So that's how that came to be. So I get a lot of questions about how that came about. And so it kind of stuck, and people kind of like it, so I just stuck with the Anonymous Mouse. And then later on, they wanted to know who I was. I just go by both now. So today, Jerry wants me to kind of preview the good, bad, and ugly of the iOS 17. So that came out last month in September, and some of you are probably either still waiting to let the dust settle and before you take that leap into iOS 17. I completely understand. And then some of you probably have already taken the leap and starting to find some pretty cool, useful stuff in there, along with the uglies and bads of the bugs. So I thought I'd focus in three areas. One is more for accessibility in terms for voiceover and low vision folks that might take advantage of the new things in iOS 17. And I'll get into the general things that I found was kind of like, whoa, this is kind of cool, which means it's not just for accessibility, but for general users. Everybody could take advantage of it. And then lastly, I'll talk about the bugs. And then I probably stop a couple times for Q&As if time to allow, and so people can ask questions, and we'll go from there. Does that sound good, Jerry? Okay.
I muted myself, Holmes, but yes, that sounds good. Just let me know when you're ready, and I'll definitely unmute everybody.
Okay. The first thing I noticed when I first got my iOS 17, I installed it, and is something is off about my phone. It seems to vibrate a little different, and you got this little haptic. It's like, is that change? Is that different? Yeah, it is. It's not your imagination. At first, I thought it was my imagination. It's, oh my gosh, what's going on with my phone that I never had before? So now, when you do your swipes, when you swipe left, right, open up an app, close an app, just various things, you're going to notice that the haptic had changed. We got a mixed review on the team on this. And when it first was in beta, it was really aggressive. I mean, it was like, it was going nuts. And we felt that like it was a little too much. Can you tone it down? And that's what we ended up getting was a little bit of a toned-down version of it. I like it myself. Now, a couple of the team members do not like it, and they just simply disable some of the haptic, which you can do within settings. You can kind of disable a few of those. But I enjoy the new haptic feeling, and I also noticed, what is that strange tone? And every time I got a notification, I got a new tone that came up. And so they change your tone. So the tone that you hear in 17 is a little subtle. I know there's been a lot of complaints. It's a little quiet, and I have to agree with you. Hang in there. 17.1 comes out in a couple of weeks, and it will improve on that sound, so it's a little louder. So it was great to see that we got new sets of tones. So when you go in to set different tones to different things, like there's 24 new ringtones, and a lot of those are pretty cool, and it takes advantage of the new haptic. And once again, it's very aggressive and very pronounced. It's like, wow, that's really aggressive, and you can change the tones with that. So that's the first thing you're going to notice when you get into iOS 17. Those with the voiceover users, now you have the open per voice settings. I know you're probably like me, is that sometimes I like to tweak the voice just a wee bit because either it's just not going fast enough or I just need the tone to change. You can do that now within voiceover and change the voice. Now they have this open per voice settings. And what makes this kind of sticks out is that you can modify per voice. It will stick, so it'll memorize what you had there. So you had two voices. I know some people out there like to have multiple voices, and one of them, the speed is too fast or the pitch is a little off. You can change it and alternate that, and then when that voice comes up, it's slower and different pitch. Or this voice comes up, it's a little faster, and it also has a different type of pitch. This will vary on which voice you're trying to set to. So, in other words, every voice you try to modify may differ from each other. So, for example, eloquence is where you will see a significant amount of settings you can do to tweak eloquence. And it also comes with the enhanced version now. I was like, what? I didn't think eloquence even had an enhanced version, but it does now. And you're able to kind of slow it down, make it a little bit more airy and things like that, which is very useful. I am more of a Neuros voice person, so I use Enhanced Tom. A lot of people notice that. There's not a whole lot you can do with Tom. You can kind of slow him down and speed him up, not in terms of voiceover speed, but just the kind of the pitch or how many words per minute you can kind of do with his voice. And that's kind of the same for Alex. I know that Alex is kind of a lot used in a lot of people in the same way. If you thought Alex was too fast, you can slow it down more. So word per minute can go down. So it's a little different than the voiceover speed, per se. And some of you, I know I've had some people that use Alex and it's incredibly fast. I can't even understand where they're using it, and they can just understand it. So you can make that go even faster to your heart desire. So that's a wonderful setting a lot of people are taking advantage of. Those with the pro devices, that is using what we call LiDAR. And there are two new features that takes advantage of the LiDAR, and one of those I really don't understand at all. So text detection is something that a lot of you probably are familiar with from Microsoft Seeing AI short text, meaning that you just kind of put your phone in front of a product and it'll just kind of read it quickly. It's not meant to read everything on it. It's just kind of for you to scan a product and say, oh, all right, this is my Lucky Charm box. All right, I got the right one. I don't want to have Frosted Flakes or whatever that is. And so you know you'd be able to scan it quickly. Well, text detection is the exact same feature. What's weird about this, guys, and I don't understand it, it's for LiDAR-capable only phone. And I'm thinking, that can't be right. And it is. So I guess that's Apple's way of saying, you got to buy the LiDAR to take advantage of it. Or you could just use your Seeing AI that if you don't have the pro models and do the same task. But they do have another one, which a lot of you might have heard, is called Point and Speak. I haven't really talked a great deal of this on Apple Biz or done any podcasts, and there's a reason for that. At first, I thought this would be an amazing feature. This is a feature that, let's say I'm on a microwave oven, and on the display is flat. Can't see anything, there's no bumps, no anything. And essentially, in theory, you're supposed to put your finger towards the word that you want it to describe to you, and it'll tell you that word. So I'll say popcorn or baked potatoes or number one, number two, number three. Well, on paper, that sounds great, but in reality, for those who are blind, first of all, think about this, guys. It's like, all right, well, this sounds great. Where do I point? I have no idea where I'm going to be pointing at. So I'll try to point somewhere I think is a button, and I get no response. And then I put my finger in, and it's in between two buttons. So I think this is going to be great for low vision folks that just needs a little bit of help, more of assistance. Just say, I know there's something there. Can you read that for me? And I think that's where it's going to shine. I think for those that are blind, it's a little more difficult, more challenging. I'm not saying it isn't possible, but it's just more challenging. So I'm not a big fan of the point and speak. So on paper, sounds great. Reality, eh. So I'm not sure if I'll do a podcast on it, and I might just kind of demonstrate how difficult it is, and that you're not missing much if you're not having LiDAR. Some of the big things you probably heard is the live speech and the cloning of your voice. So essentially what this was designed for is for people that have speech disability, if they aren't able to talk very well or there's just something with their voice that they're kind of embarrassed, you can now use something called live speech. Now, live speech is part one of two things. Live speech allows you to type in what you want to say on a phone call or on FaceTime and tell them via TTS. So if you say, good morning, I'll just say good morning in TTS. So it's a beautiful and wonderful feature, I think, that is going to make a huge difference for those that have speaking difficulties. And I know I have some friends that are deaf, although they can talk. But as you know, sometimes the voice is a little off or whatever not. And they will use this live speech. Now, we do have the personal voice where you can actually clone your voice. And yeah, it does clone your voice. It's a little flat, so there's no inflection, there's no personality to it, but it does work, and it does sound like you. It's just a very monotone voice. It's like, good morning, how are you? It's just very strange. But nonetheless, that person that lost their voice still want to use their voice a little bit. They can clone their voice, and it will be able to talk without any difficulty. So this is something that's really I'm excited for. And no, a lot of people ask, can I use it as a TTS voice? No, you cannot. Not at this time. I like how Apple kind of clamped this down a little bit. You cannot clone a, let's just say I want Samuel Jackson to be my voice. That would be kind of cool, right? It doesn't work because you have to follow these prompts that pops up, and they change each and every time you do want to clone your voice. So there's just impossible to get that voice to say exactly what the screen says. It's a pretty lengthy process. It takes a lot of time. Those using VoiceOver, you're going to find it's kind of difficult because you'll have to mute your speech each time you talk because VoiceOver is talking at the same time, and that doesn't work right. So you probably want to wear a headset that has a microphone when you do that. Probably my personal advice to you. Braille display users are going to love the sound curtain. Now, you may be familiar with the screen curtain, which VoiceOver use now, and I absolutely love using my screen curtain because I can just turn my screen completely black, and nobody can kind of lean over and see what you're doing and whatever not. I love that, and I got some people that will ask me, What are you doing? There's nothing on the screen. And I have to explain to them. Well, that's because I did that on purpose. People like you that can't see it. But anyway, sound curtain, what this does is that if you enable this feature and you plug in your Braille display, as soon as you plug in your Braille display and it pairs with your iPhone, your iPad, the sound will automatically mute. In other words, VoiceOver stops talking. Now, you still get some notifications and things like that, the sounds, but the VoiceOver voice stops. So it can be very tricky for some. So if you're new to Braille and you use Braille users, be very careful when you plug in your Braille display with the sound curtain because VoiceOver will turn off. Not to fear. All you have to do is unpair your Braille display and your VoiceOver voice will come back. So you got to be pretty proficient with Braille to be able to use your iPhone. So for those that are proficient, are going to like this. So I'm thinking a lot of my blind deaf friends are going to love that. So it isn't jabbing and blabbing because they're not able to hear how loud their voice is being projected on their phone. It's, you know, they're not aware that it's being very loud. So this will disable that. So it's a very nice feature. One of my favorite, and I've done a podcast with this recently, is the Long Press. For those that are familiar with the Long Press, you do one finger, double tap, and hold. And there's always kind of a slight pause. Now, you're able to speed that up, and it's a wonderful feature. I've done that, so it makes things more go quickly. So productivity goes a little faster for me. I enjoyed that. Now, for those that have difficulties And doing double taps and long press, things like that, you probably want to leave that alone. There are some new Siri voices. Now, not so much new Siri voices, but they enhanced it a little bit. And I can't tell the difference. It does seem to be a little more natural, and it's kind of pretty nice. I like using the new Siri voice. My favorite is voice number 4, U.S. English. It sounds very clean, and the way it says things is pretty nice. And one of my favorite things, I can speed it up now. I could probably ask, you know, raise your hand if you thought Siri was kind of slow sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, could you just give me the answer or just say it a little quicker? And we weren't able to control that. Now you're able to speed up the voice of Siri, so it goes as fast as your voiceover voice now if you want to do it. It is separate, of course. The voiceover voice is separate from the Siri voice speed. But the point is that if you like fast voiceover voice, you can now have fast Siri voice. Some of the things that are more for general users, but it also in terms for accessibility folks out there, I thought was pretty kind of cool is that you are a Safari user. You have something called Listen to Page. I can invoke Siri and say, read this page to me. And what it'll essentially do, guys, it'll strip out all the advertisement, all the links, everything. It makes it, oh my gosh, you can actually listen to an article without all these links, and you probably can relate to that. As I swipe to the right, it goes click, and it goes to a link, and it drives me bonkers. But now you can listen to it. Oh, it's just beautiful as can be. There's a little downside to it, and that is there is no magic cap to stop the speech. They'll have to go back into the page settings and go under what they have more controls. And from there, you can speed up the voice, or you can have it stop. Hopefully I can reach out to Apple and tell them a magic tap would be great in this area to stop, listen to the page. FaceTime. Now, a lot of people don't know about this. And during FaceTime, one of the new cool things, guys, is that it's not just for FaceTime exclusive, but I hear that you're going on Zoom. Well, this will work with Zoom. It'll work with any video conferencing platform that you have out there. But built in and baked in is for FaceTime, and you'll have to activate it to make it work on Zoom and such, is that you have gestures that can be implemented during the video conferencing. So if you are looking at the camera, and for example, if I put a thumbs up, you're going to hear this little tone. And for those with vision, we'll see a thumbs up to the side of me. So it's really kind of cool how they do this visually. So they're taking advantage of the surrounding of my face. So they're going to use the background in back of me and the side of me, not directly in front of me. And that's the same for a thumbs down. You'll say, I dislike something, and a little thumbs down shows up. My two thumbs up is one of my favorites. If you do two thumbs up, it'll do fireworks. And you'll see this fireworks display being displayed in back of you. And what's cool about this, guys, is that that person that you're having a FaceTime with doesn't have to have iOS 17. So they can be in iOS 16 and still be able to see that cool effect behind you. And I believe that should be the same for Android. So if you're FaceTime with an Android user, you should be able to see the same effects. So there's different things like raining, two thumbs down. One of my ultimate favorite is that you put your finger in the shape of a heart, and I'll show a heart displaying. So that'd be really kind of a cool little deal you can do for your loved ones out there. If you do a peace sign, you'll do balloons. And confetti, so you do two peace fingers up. And you can do laser effect, which is the rock on gesture. And that is the gestures of that you use in FaceTime now. Those are low vision. There's now a level tool that helps you. Now, for those of voiceover, you're not going to really take advantage of it. It does that now. You'll get a little haptic feeling that says turn right, turn left. It just kind of lets you know that when you're taking a picture, you're kind of offset. You need to make it level. Well, there's now a level tool for those low vision that can see visually on the screen, kind of like a little level, and it'll just turn different colors when you're level and when you're not level. So I thought this is kind of a cool feature to mention to my low vision folks out there. And then lastly, we have the audio transcription for iMessages. This is long overdue. We had transcription for voice mail in our phone, but we never had it for our messages. When somebody sends an audio to you, there was never a capability of being able to transcribe it, and now that is alive. Now, it is a bug in 17.0, and you're not going to be able to see it. It'll just say there's no transcription, but fortunately 17.1, which is soon to come out, does work, so I'm glad to report on that. Okay, well, let's talk about some general things that I think is kind of cool that it will affect us as well. Have you guys ever had, of course, you know, we all want to sign into a website or an account on your webpage. Using Safari, for example, and you have to go, oh man, it's a two-step darn thing, and I have to get the authentication number. And, you know, that can be kind of painful, because if you're like me, if you spit a six-digit number to me, I'll just blank it out. I'll say, what? 3-1 what? And you have to enter it so many seconds. But the fortunate thing is, a lot of people don't know, is that if you receive a text from one of these places where it sends you an auth code, did you know when you double tap on that enter verification code field, if you double tap that, and then at the bottom left where you have your password, did you know that it'll pop up that says text message auth number? Yeah, you just double tap that, and it'll put the verification number in there. A lot of people don't know about that, and that's been around for a couple of years now. But now in 17.0, it does it to your email as well. So you have email and text, and it'll be in the same place. Plus, there's a new settings that once you're done with that verification code, it will automatically delete that text and email for you. That's nice, because I'm always having to clean it out. Unnecessary clutter, so that does it automatically for you now. This is another major thing I think a lot of us can use, is the check-in feature. You may or may not have heard about this. Now, within iMessages, where you enter your message, and there's a little app button, you tap on that, and it opens it up. There's audio, and there's all sorts of things, but one of those is check-in. If you are wanting to keep somebody in the know where you are and how long it's going to take for you to get home, the check-in feature is something you should use. So let's just say I'm coming home. I want to let my wife know that I'm on my way home. I can perform a check-in. I could tell her that it's probably going to take me X number of minutes to get there. And from there, she'll get a message saying I'm on my way. And if that time elapsed longer than you have specified, he will get a message saying it's taking a little longer for Thomas to get home. What's going on? And she can go in and see exactly where I'm at, location-wise, and whatnot. And so this is really great to keep a tap on your safety and for just getting making sure people get home or to work on time or whatnot. So that's a nice feature to have. One of my favorite, too, is that I can share password with my family. Why is that important? Do you have a family that have Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu? I do. And I, more times than not, my wife creates all those passwords. I have no idea what the password is. I'm always having to text her. Wouldn't it be nice if you could share selected passwords? Doesn't share all your passwords. You just put in what password you want to share with your family. So I want to put Netflix in there. Here's the credentials, and here's the password for it. And I can now look it up in within my password keychain area. So that is something I really love doing with my family, so we don't have to keep telling each other, here's a password, we changed it, what I'm not. People that are using WhatsApp. Now, I know a lot of folks in the States probably don't use WhatsApp a lot, but it's very heavily used in the outside of the United States. You can now tell Siri that I don't want, when I say I want to send a message to Thomas, it doesn't necessarily mean that you send it to iMessage anymore. You can tell it to use WhatsApp. And so every time you send a message to Thomas, it will send a message via WhatsApp. That is something pretty huge for those outside the States, and take advantage of that. That also works with Telegram and whatnot. There are some other things that, have you ever gone out of town where I always like to download, I have to use Google Maps, so I need to download the maps because I'm going to be getting in areas that doesn't have cell reception once you, and you've probably been there, right? And so you need that data to be able to download the maps. Well, now you can download offline maps for Apple Maps, so that's long, long overdue. Let's see what else I got my here. If you're one of those people like myself that lose things all the time, now if you're an Apple Watch user, one of the nice things that I had with my Apple Watch, if I misplace my phone, yes, Thomas misplaces phones a lot. And you're just, you know, you're scouring your family room looking for that phone. Where did I put it? Well, on the Apple Watch, there's a nice feature that they've been around for a couple of years now where I can say, ping my phone, and it works beautifully. It's just, oh, there it is. It's over there. Now you can do vice versa. So if I misplace my watch, you can now ping your watch. This is kind of an unusual one, and I thought was pretty kind of cool. If you change your passcode for any reason, you want to change it because you need to, you have up to, I believe, 72 hours. So once you have changed the passcode, up to 72 hours, you can still enter your new passcode. But if you forget it, they'll know that, kind of like, did you forget your passcode? And you go, oh, man, I did. Now I have an option that says, well, how about you enter your old passcode? And you can do that, and then it'll remind you what your new passcode is. I mean, how many of us can use that? This other feature, now I'm surprised haven't been around, guys, and I'm just like baffled. We're in 2023 and they just now implemented multiple timers. Yes, we can only do one timer at a time before now. And now in 17.0, you can now set multiple timers and set labels to each of those multiple labels. So I can say, take the pot off the stove in 10 minutes, or on top of that, I say take out the bacon dish out of the oven. So when they both goes off, it'll say take out the item out of the oven. So you had the option to do multiple timers with labels. And then we have kind of a similar thing with the iPhone and Apple Watch finding it. You now have the option to find your Siri remote if you have Apple TV. Now, that's one I always lose, and that's because my kids or my wife is always moving things around, and God only knows where they put the dang remote. And now you're able to ping the remote, and I'll help you locate it, which is very useful. And that is going to be wrapping up for the journal. And there's a lot more features out there available, of course. But those are the ones I enjoy the most, and I thought I'd share that with you that you probably haven't heard anywhere else, and I hope that that gives you some ideas what you can expect in 17. Now, let's talk about the good, bad, and the ugly. All right, guys. Now, for those that are hanging back with iOS 16, you know, that's not a bad idea because 17 does have this issue. Now, last year when we went from 15 to 16, it wasn't that big of a deal. I thought, there's nothing for you to wait on. And so while those are waiting, I would wait. At least wait until 17.1 comes out, which will be out on October 24th. So write that on your calendar so that day comes out. There can be a lot of fixes coming up, and that's going to be very great for a lot of the bugs that are creeping up in 17.0. So let's talk about some of the bads and uglies about this. The most notable one I am distracted, I totally hate, and I'm just, is that it doesn't happen all the time. It's inconsistent. There's no way to reproduce it, but sometimes I'm sitting there swiping, looking through my articles. Oh, that's a cool article, and I'll double tap. Nothing happens. I go, what in the heck? And I'll double tap again, and nothing happens. Double tap again. Oh, it works. So we call that the double tap problem, a bug. It's not consistent. It's not all the time, but when it does happen, it will drive you nutty and batty. Now, some people aren't seeing a lot of this issue, and that's great. I know that the team, everybody on our team has seen it, and it does occur, and it drives us nuts. And unfortunately, 17.1 is no better. Apple can't seem to agree with us that it's a bug. There are some workaround. I've heard that you're able to change the time sensitivity between double tap, and if you alter that just a little bit, it will improve it, but it doesn't get rid of it entirely. Is it a showstopper? No, not at all. Just be aware that that does occur. BSI users, that's short for Braille screen input. There are some issues from time to time. It does crash when you try to delete a word or enter a new line. Yes, I know that sounds kind of big. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it can dramatically affect your productivity. I'm not sure if that's fixed in 17.1. That's something you'll have to visit AppleViz on October 24th to see our list of things that are fixed. You probably want to look at that. There are a handful of moderate bugs, but nothing to be fear about. If you are a beginner or newbie to iOS, or you do not like bugs and it drives you insane, you probably want to hold off until you read the 17.1 release that we have on AppleBit to see if that's something you want to update. I think a lot of those have been resolved, so I think you might want to reconsider at that point. Otherwise, hold off. Now, for more modern and advanced users, you're probably already on iOS 15, so you're probably dealing with that. So you're going to be happy to know a lot of these things are being resolved. So lots to chew on. There was lots that I've discussed in this cast, and so I thought I'll ask Jerry to open up the floor. So this is my favorite part, is to connect with other people. So I love meeting new folks and new voices and trying to connect with you and see if you have any questions.
All right, guys. Sorry, Thomas. I just wanted to let people know that they can unmute themselves by doing *6 and ask a question.
Awesome. Bring it on, guys. Love to hear you. Any questions you'd like to ask?
Hi, this is Mary Johnson. I have.
Hi, Mary.
Hello, how are you? That was a lot of information.
Right.
I am a low vision person, very low vision, but not completely blind. The biggest issue that I've discovered with the new update 17, it changed my screen. It has the gray halo when you go into contacts. I don't see the full name. That has large alphabets with the first and last initials, but there's a gray, like a window shade, that covers half of my screen. The numbers, the phone numbers and information, all of that is clear because I have adjusted my phone to the dark background, so I see black background with white numbers. Now, the names are hidden under this gray shade. Is this something that I can get rid of and make it back to normal? I struggle trying to see the person's name because of, I call it a window shade because it just comes halfway my, and I have a 13 Pro Max, which is,
you know, yeah, you got the bigger screen real estate size, which is fantastic for low vision. You know, unfortunately, they have, I don't know why Apple feels like they need to visually change things, and they do that every year to make things more appealing for those with voice or with sighted, I'm guessing. They want to make it eye candy popping, you know? It's like, woo, that's so pretty, but they never realize what they're doing to those who are low vision. Isn't that terrible? So I'm sorry to hear that. And it sounds like you're doing exactly what you need to do, and that is to try to change what you can in terms of what's given to you, being able to change the contrast, colors, and the filters on that particular app. So it sounds like you're doing that right. Any way I can get rid of that? I don't believe so. Don't quote me on that. But I don't think you can do a lot with it other than changing the filters and be able to try to change that on your own.
Oh, well, good luck with that. I don't have the kind of knowledge that you have when it comes to technology, but I was hoping you would have a quick fix.
I don't. There is something called Open Per App, and that is something that a low vision can do to set up different settings and tweaks per app. So if I open up contact, that contact gets tweaked based what I want that one to show up each and every time I open up contact. Are you familiar with the Open Per App?
No.
Okay, that is something that you might have to research. I wish I was able to step you through it, but there isn't enough time. But it's called Open Per App. That is a thing. You might Google it or something, or find a podcast on how to do
that. Say that again. It's called Open
Per App.
Per App.
Yep.
I don't mind the research if it's going to a possibility of helping me adjust to 17. It is a doozy to work with, I must say. Very interesting. Yes.
You can say that for every iOS version. It's always a doozy, but it's something we get used to and then we get adjusted to.
I'm sure I can. I do appreciate your comment in every way. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a wonderful day, Mary.
Thank you. You do likewise.
All right.
Hi, my name is Melissa, and I noticed in the live voicemail, as you're receiving a call, as VoiceOver is trying to read the transcript, it stutters. Has anybody noticed that?
Yes, you're not alone, Melissa. And live mail, it's kind of a, you know, sometimes I, you know, this is, Melissa is an advanced user here using live mail. Essentially what that means is that as somebody leaves you a voicemail, you get a live translation. So this isn't something you wait until they left the message, but as they're talking, you can read the transcription that they're talking to see if you want to pick that line up, so you can pick it up. So that's a new feature, but you are not alone. There is problems with the live mail transcription, and I'm hoping that there's a fix on its way to resolve that problem.
Thank you very much. It's been kind of driving me babbling. I'm about to turn it off.
No, I'm with you, Melissa, and it's always so hard to know, is this a bug or is it happening to other people? And I have to do the same thing. I kind of bang up other people to see if that's the same issue, and so you're not alone on that.
It just sounded like a hi, this is hi, this is hi, 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 this is, I was like,
right. And it's like, oh my God, you just want to say, I just turn it off. Yep.
That was a good recreation, by the way. That's exactly the way it sounds.
Hey, I'm
pretty good
at that.
Why. Right?
This is Aaron. Preston. How you doing?
Hello. Great, Aaron. How are you?
Good. I was just wondering, when this podcast, is this podcast available now? Like, this recording, because I heard it say this is being recorded.
Sure, here's the process. It's going to be recorded today, and I will take that recording, and I will give it to our outreach librarian on, she'll get it Monday, and then sometime between Monday and Wednesday, she'll probably, it'll be on the website first, and then it will be circulated as a podcast. So
okay.
By Wednesday, for sure, it's on the website. Give it another week before it gets on our podcatcher site.
Okay. Could somebody email me a copy or something?
If you send me an email to my jerry.price1@maryland.gov and give me your address, I can probably send you a Dropbox link to it, actually.
Okay.
So that's jerry.price1@maryland.gov.
All right.
And Maryland is spelled out and G-O-V. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The one and only Price.
Okay.
Yeah.
Price is right.
So it's Jerry.Price, J-E-R?
Yeah, dot meaning period, yeah. Jerry,
right.
Period, Price, one. Yep.
At Maryland.gov?
There's a couple of us apparently out in that work for the Maryland government. So I'm the
mm-hmm.
second one, actually.
But you're number one, though.
Yeah, I am number one.
See, they're number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they don't even have a thing as a nation. Any other questions for Thomas? Why we're fortunate enough to have him here.
Hello, this is Harvey Hagee. Can you hear me?
I sure can, Harvey.
Hello, Tom. I have the iPhone SE 3 phone, and the issue I've had with the 17 update is I've had a lot of trouble with the numeric keypad not working the way it was in 16. And I do have the Braille panel on my phone that you get from AT Guys. Do you know anything about that?
Are you talking about the keypad disappearing or just not being able to tap on it?
No, just not entering the numbers that I'm punching. It apparently is putting out false tones or something that is not correct.
I haven't heard that problem. I mean, of course, I've heard about the double tap problem. As I mentioned to you, you might have tapped on it and nothing comes out of it. It's like, what in the world? You've got to keep tapping on it until you get results. And that might be due to the double tap problem, as I was mentioned before, is that you tap on it, nothing happens, or you might get some other information that sounds like it's popping up, but it really doesn't take it. That might sound like it. That might be the issue I'm thinking. Unfortunately, if that is the case, it's still an issue. And what drives me bonkers, Harvey, is that Apple is telling us that is expected behavior. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wrong.
You've got to be kidding me. Right? So there's a lot of people with the same complaint. So hopefully somebody in that little accessibility team will get on the gear on that.
Well, I have the 17.03 update, which is different from the one that's coming out. But also sometimes we find Siri stops talking in the middle of reading a text or a notification or whatever. Has that happened?
Oh, yeah. that's a known bug where it seems like sometimes it repeats back what you said, sometimes it doesn't. That is a known bug, and a lot of people are reporting it. Some of us are wondering, because there's a new feature called Siri Respond Backs. In other words, she asks a question about how some weather, and then I can follow it up saying, is it raining? It seems to be like listening all the time, so we wonder if that is cutting in, so it stops voiceover to start listening. But it's still an issue in 17.1, unfortunately.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Harvey.
So what's that Apple Viz? Is that a podcast or website or what?
That's a great question. It's both. It is a website. And I should have mentioned that it's a website. You can go to appleviz.com. It's A-P-P-L-E as in Apple. V as in Victor. I-S for vision. So appleviz.com. It's a website you can come and visit. Yes, it does include podcasts you can listen to on the site itself, but it's mostly more geared to more of a community forum.
Thanks.
Good morning, Thomas. This is Marguerite. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have not downloaded 17.
Okay.
And the reason that I did not is I knew you were coming today, and so I wanted to hear what you had to say. But in the meantime, I've been having problems with my messages. For some reason, if I ask Siri to play my messages, and then I go back to messages to sort of tap on it, the message isn't there anymore. It's most bizarre.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. And then I'm getting these little arrows, and I'm not sure what's going on with it. I don't know if I've hit something that I didn't intend to and changed the format of the messages. It's been really a challenge. And even when I search on somebody's name, because I want to pull up a message that I gotten from them recently, it's been a real challenge. I don't know what's going on with it.
So do you have low vision?
I have no vision.
Are you? No vision. So you're like me. We're a little – okay. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell you, you stumped me. I have not heard that issue before where a message will simply disappear. Now, are you, of course, are you to the root of messages so you can make sure that you're back to the main screen so you can see all the different messages and then make sure you're going in the right conversations?
Well, you know, normally I just go to messages and, you know, when I go to the top, it'll tell me the most recent unless I've got something pinned. But I'm not even able to do that. This morning I took a look at it to see what it was, and I know that there are messages in there. But the most recent message at the top was from maybe 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that most recent button is kind of a hit and miss, unfortunately. You're going to have to go to the top left, make sure you're back out, and then find the person in question, tap it, and go to the bottom of that conversation, see the most recent one. Sometime that
yeah,
most
that's
recent
what I normally
does,
would do. Yep, that's
right.
Exactly what I would normally do, but it's not happening like that. It's the most bizarre
thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening. I probably need to go in and have somebody sit down with me because it's not functioning in any way that I'm familiar with.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Another thing I highly recommend, if anybody comes to iOS 17, I know this is not desirable, but I know in some cases it probably will make things better for you. I never had to do this before until I was 17, is that I had to erase settings, not erase all content settings. Don't do that. Just erase settings. And the bad part about that, I have to reset all my settings. But I will tell you, it cleared up a lot of problems I've had for years. And also it didn't work. And I was like, and it seems like there was a lot of folks out there, a handful of people that were in the same boat that had a lot of issues, and they just erased the settings, and it was like a brand new phone. It's like everything was working as it's supposed to be. It just seems like an old computer. You know, when Windows gets slow and doggy, you reset it, and then it's just like, wow, it's like a brand new machine. It's almost becoming like Windows, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, that.
We all relate to that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Thomas.
So, you're welcome. Sorry I didn't have a great answer for you.
Well, actually, you know, you moved me a little bit further. At least, you know, I really do need to go in and sit down with somebody that can sort of together maybe we can figure it out.
Right. That's a good idea. Thank you so much. Great talking with you.
Same.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Thomas here? I know it's a little bit after 11, but for those of you who are hanging around, if you have any questions, feel free to pop one in real quick. I know Thomas's time is valuable, so.
It's all good. I'll stay in as long as it needs to be.
This is Marguerite again. Thomas, is there a way to email you if we had a question, if we think of something beyond this time?
Absolutely, yes. All of you can always send me an email. You can email me at Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, at applevis.com. So once again,
okay.
It's A-P-P-L-E, V's and Victor, I-S.com.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's simple. I thought you were going to put more to it. Yeah.
I should have, you know. It's like, Thomas, the anonymous mouse at Applevis, the blind, low vision, /4/.
From Missouri.
From Missouri. .com.
That way you wouldn't have to worry about getting any email.
Oh, you didn't put the dash in there. Okay.
Exactly. You left that out. Sorry, I didn't get it.
Well,
I think you wowed us this morning.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming out, Thomas. That was really fantastic. I think we all are happy that you stopped by, and you definitely gave us a lot of information, a lot of stuff to process, and a lot of stuff for us to go out and explore now to see whether or not we want to make that jump to 17, which I have, and I'm one of those that has the Siri cutting off in the middle of something issue, so that I don't like, but I... But I do like the other features that it does have to offer, and I'm enjoying it. And hopefully, you know,
well, that's wonderful.
We'll just move on from there.
Like this, right? It's always so much. I always seem to like, okay, open your brain, and now I'm going to pour this big gallon of information into your brain, and it'll spill all over the place. I get that, and I hate doing that, but sometimes, you know, you can review the podcast, listen to it again, and you're like, I'm glad he just kept on going, because that way I can just re-listen to it. And I hope there were some new things in there you may not be aware of. So teach new things for folks out there. I'm learning new things every day. It's like, well, I didn't know that was a feature, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, the more people
you know,
you talk to, the more you learn, that's for sure.
Right. And now related to iOS 17.1, folks, is that if you are Microsoft Student AI, download the latest update. Oh, my gosh, they really made some changes in there I think you're going to like. If you like to see my AI, they now have a scene channel where you can get more description. It's very much like the Be My Eyes descriptions. Very cool.
Awesome.
Say that again, Thomas. What's it called?
Microsoft Scene AI, S-E-E-I-N-G, AI.
Yeah. Okay, I have that, yeah. Just then do the most current update.
Yes, it just came out last night, and it's got some pretty cool stuff in there.
Okay.
Welcome. All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
I wanted to ask a question, I'm sorry.
You betcha. What you got?
I'm Tiffany. Hi.